Well, good morning. Thanks for coming out. I know it's hard. Everybody's checking out of the hotels and trying to figure out what's up next, you know, on your way home. So my name is Barbara Stanley. My co-presenter, Ann Becker, who is the public health nurse at UMass Amherst, she actually had a public health situation she had to attend to back in Amherst. So she had to leave last night. But in any case, the two of us have been interested in the Medical Reserve Corps, coming from really different ends of the spectrum. I had been the Deputy Director of Health and Human Services in the city of Springfield, and the fellow that was right next to me would always be responding to hazmat situations, whether it was, we have Route 91 coming through the city of Springfield, so, and trains. So we've had trains that have crashed and tipped over, and we have plenty of trucks that have been spilling things. So we became interested when the fire department said, you know, we really need help. And obviously my boss, the director of Health and Human Services, was the key person responding. So she said, well, Barbara, you better get interested in this. So you're the one. And so that's how I became interested. And then when I moved on, oh, by the way, I have nothing to disclose, nor did Ann. it was something that I thought, well, I'd like to do this. We've been vaccinating people, 10,000 citizens in the city of Springfield and surrounding area for years and years. I had been there for 13 years, but a number of years. And she said, Barbara, why don't you look at this? And we started doing some tabletops in the city of Springfield. And that was sort of how I got interested. So when I went to UMass, one of my predecessors, Joan Cully, had been doing her dissertation on disaster preparedness and response and so forth. So I said, Joan, when you leave, and she did a few years later to for other possibilities in her career. She said, Barbara, you've got to follow up on this. This is really important. And somebody's got to be a cheerleader. So I said, well, I guess I can do this. I'm not too sure, but I think I can do it. I did it in Springfield. I can do it here. But, you know, they're big ships to turn. Springfield has 150,000 citizens in the surrounding area, 200,000. UMass has 30,000 people on campus every day. We employ 10,000 people, and we have students 20 and above, depending what day of the week we have different numbers of students on campus. So really pretty much Ann had looked at the mission of the Medical Reserve Corps, and it's really to engage volunteers to strengthen public health emergency response and community resilience. And really what we do is we look at volunteers building healthy, safe, and resilient communities. So it's really based on a volunteer structure. And what Ann did in 2005, which was the year I had just come to UMass, she and Joan had looked at should we have a medical reserve corps? And of course, if we are responsible for that many citizens of our university community, somebody's got to do it, and certainly it's the public health nurse. But then you might say, well, maybe it's somebody else on campus. So therein lies the problem. Is it you? Is it you? We started two branches, the College of Nursing, and all juniors and seniors, so that's pretty much when students are in their clinical experiences. They are involved, and we have, well, now there's more than 250 students in the baccalaureate programs. We have three undergraduate programs. One is RN to BS. They're really not on campus. That's an online program. We have traditional students, about 90 in each class. They're coming in from high school. And then we have a second baccalaureate degree program, and we have, depending what time of year, because they do overlap a little, we have 75 in one class and 64 in the other. So we have an interesting mix of students. And then the student organization, that's about 60 students. And of course, it's natural to pull from the School of Public Health, our pre-med students. We have student EMTs. We have some of our nursing students who are EMTs. And then we have other students, staff, and retirees. So the core curriculum that we offer to juniors, and, you know, at the beginning of junior year when they're just getting into the nursing lab and the sim man and all of that, well, sim is the big thing. You know, you're going to have a stethoscope around your neck. You're going into a hospital, sim, sim, sim. This is our sim. For public health nurses, for those involved with population-based practice, an MRC and those drills, that's our sim, okay? And that's one way that you can look at it. So again, the core curriculum is personal preparedness and planning, and the incident command system. Students are expected during between sophomore and junior year, before they get into junior year, when they come to the secretary and they have to present a documentation about all of their vaccinations, they have to present these completion forms, which is the ICS 100 and then the NIM 700. So they have to have that document or they're not getting into class, period. It's something that you have to do before you enter the junior year. And we also have in the core curriculum the national local response hierarchy, emergency communication protocols, psychological first aid. We talk about activation, assignment, and deactivation, and that is through a series of job action sheets, in other words, job descriptions. And then we also talk about working within the limits of one's license and physical and mental abilities. So Ann and Joan had sort of set up in a casual, I guess you'd say semi-casual, but professional relationship. This is the MRC mission, the College of Nursing. Joan was very excited about this, and then UMass Amherst mission. And pretty much it was all agreed that we're here for the safety of the students, and what are we going to do? So that was an informal agreement with the current dean, who was very supportive of this. And because Joan had a close relationship there, so, you know, everything is about relationships. And, of course, Anne, working for the University Health Services, if anyone is injured, any problems on campus, they come to UHS. So she had the support of her director. So in this case, it started out sort of on a relationship basis, and everybody agreed it was our responsibility to take care of the university, the members of the university family. But it's a sustainability issue. In the meantime, we've had a different president of the university. We've had two different chancellors, and we've had two provosts. And we have had one dean, the one who supported it, left. Then we had an interim dean, and now we have a new dean. So, you know, how do you sustain this? Whoops. And that was my phone. And the reason I had my phone here was for an audiovisual aid to say that you always have to be on alert, okay? So we know everybody in here is texting or filling in your CEU forms and so forth. But students in the classroom, they need to have their cell phones on, because if there is something going on campus, you have to lock down the campus, you have to get into an emergency mode. You know, emergency is health and safety of the universities coming around saying, have your phone on you because we have to get in touch with you if something's going on. We have bells and whistles that go off, but there are different kinds of emergency systems that we have in place. So anyway, when we have to talk to all of these people, we say, this is for the health and safety of your college, your campus, UMass Amherst, your deans and your provosts, and all of the different schools, okay? So the way I had to go about it was to look at the mission statement. And during the transition from one dean to another, I was told, well, we voted on it last year. And I told the new dean, we voted on this last year. Well, I wasn't there, or I wasn't at that meeting, or I wasn't familiar with that. And so what you really have to do is resell it to your dean. In fact, I might add, you resell it to your dean every year. Okay? If they're not committed to it, you're not going to get everybody else involved. So the way I decided to do it was to print out and hand out at a faculty meeting the materials about, first of all, the mission of UMass. And one of the big things is conduct programs of research, public service, advanced knowledge to improve the lives of the people of the Commonwealth. And then, you know, priorities strategic priorities were enhancing student learning, and developing leadership roles. Perfect vehicle, the MRC and the joint MRC of the School of Nursing and of the campus. So then I looked at the vision of the College of Nursing. How can I be sure that this new dean, these new faculty people, will understand this is something we have to attend to? So again, innovative learning. This is very creative and innovative. You know, preparing culturally proficient nurses. Believe me, if you have to respond to an event going on, it will be culturally diverse. And then again, I like to look at service. We are measured at UMass, as most universities, I would presume, on scholarship, research, practice, and then service. And this can go in any of those places, but certainly service is the place. And then the faculty fulfills the mission of the school, and again, creative environments, diverse populations, disseminating knowledge, and so forth. So you figure, okay, it's all done, but you have to keep doing it. And again, now you've got your dean, your associate deans. This is the second year we've had two associate deans. They came from other campuses. They may or may not have had an experience. Someone who lived in the South had the experience of Katrina. Somebody who lived in Canada, nothing, okay? So program directors, each faculty person, keep in mind every year you have new faculty, they have to be convinced this is it. Course coordinators, in other words, clinical coordinators, and then the students. And Anne had to continuously, she's had changes in the university health services, she's had changes in environmental health, the new directors out of the president's office and the provost's office, new emergency manager, and of course the School of Public Health has been pretty stable, and auxiliary services are sometimes a moving target. So she has to keep being sure that everybody's on board. I've been given the signal for 5 minutes. I think I'll go to seven because we're saving a little time. There aren't too many questions so far, but I hope there will be. Okay, so what I did was I took each course outline and I underscored for each professor how her course or his course would be able to fulfill the requirements, the MRC would be able to fulfill the requirements, and their students who are in their clinical site, because you know you hate to have one day in maternity robbed from you if you're in a clinical experience, they're so hard to get. You don't want to be robbed of your one day, your pediatrics, you know, it's so hard to get that placement. So I went and took every single course, I underscored everything, had the MRC mission, School of Nursing mission, their course outline. And I put together a package for them. UMass, this is our responsibility, okay? So everybody said, well, that's Nursing 100. And then they said, well, Barbara, you're into it because you teach, you know, the ending course, Population-Based Practice 439. So they said, well, it's okay there and it's okay there, but us in between, uh-uh. So that was work, a little bit of work. Now, the older, I should more say more seasoned faculty, they kept saying, look it, we've participated. These are good experiences. You're going to love it. And then in the clinical, it was usually an easier sell because we were able to get those students to participate. And if the course coordinator said, by the way, this day in the spring, we usually have our exercises and drills in the spring. This year it's April 10th, so anybody who wants to come to UMass Amherst, we're having a big sheltering drill. It's not a tabletop, it's not a practice, it's the real deal. So we'll have students staying over in a gym to have the experience of what it feels like to be sheltered and share, you know, a bedroom with 150 people in it, you know, the gym, or more than that. So anyway, they said, well, the professor who's in that course, she doesn't have to show up, you know, but the students will show up. So now you, again, have to be sure that you get every single clinical person on board. And they are contract faculty. They might not want to come that day. So you have to alert them. If you want to get paid by the University of Massachusetts in the School of Nursing, this is one of the things that is outside of your day. Please plan for it in the spring. That's hard to do. And then I told you about the curriculum. So, oh, somebody's going to say, no, there's always somebody who will confront you in a faculty meeting when you're trying to get this message across. So my final, the icing on the cake for me was the essentials. And, you know, you're measured on that, right? You have your accreditation comes up every 10 years. So right there, essential 7, prepare and minimize health consequences of emergencies, including mass casualty disaster. That was it. As soon as I showed the associate director and all, then they decided, oh, we'll be sure everybody participates because we want to get accredited for 10 years. Okay? So you can read all of that, and there's handouts. And then the final one, essential 9, you know, prepare the graduate to understand their own role, you know. and the disaster response. But, you know, there's preparedness, there's response, and then what I love about it are all the environmental factors. Who thought in Springfield in 1 year we'd have a tornado, we would have a flood? We had an earthquake, unheard of, but we had it. So the time commit from the students isn't bad. They do the online things before they get into junior year, and then we have this three-hour MRC, and again, during those first 3 weeks, 2 weeks, when they're having to go into the sim lab, we include this three-hour course, Ann and I, and a lot of other people from the university participate. And we tell them about participating in drills and exercises. And, you know, some students are on campus for a while, so we tell them, you know, that you can do a special project around this, particularly when you become a senior in the population-focused clinical. And all students are registered in the mass responders. There's a big database, and they can get additional training and participate in all different activities if they want to. But the beginning, they must, okay? So again, alert the faculty to the exercise. You have to keep reminding them. I started with my new dean. He's been a dean at our school for 1 year. I started last year, and then again I did it this fall. Say, we're going to do it in April. He said, let the associate dean know. She alerted everybody, and now we've got to save the date. Ann has to keep going back to environmental protection, and again, it's their legal responsibility to take care of the students. So it's really important that they're on board, and we do have changes in that area, so Ann has to again go back and say this is our responsibility to our community. Some of the things we've done, you know, it's written into the emergency response plan, the campus emergency plan, we're involved with that. And again, these are our legal responsibilities to keep our campus safe. And we train and we exercise together. Response to the emergency, however, is volunteer. And only in one case was it not volunteer, when we had to give out H1N1 vaccines. We immunized actually over 10,000 people on campus and around campus. We've done personal preparedness education. So every student came to the... called the CC, it's the main center on campus, and campus center, and they had an opportunity to put together their own 72-hour pack. So we had volunteers go out into the community, get flashlights, get batteries, get all sorts of things, hand sanitizers, everything, crank up radios, and they were able to put in their own 72-hour backpack. We've done sheltering. We've done surge capacity, and of course, we always partner with our, these are some of our drills, with our community neighbors. So I just want to show you, there's the Massachusetts Medical Reserve Corps. Each one of your states has this. We have the Campus Health and Safety Guide. You can pull out all sorts of information from that. And then we have our Medical Reserve Corps. We have our, this was one of our exercise plans with the job description, excuse me. And then we have the Hampshire County Medical Reserve Corps. So we combined all of their goals and objectives into our activities. Emergency dispensing drill, psychological first aid, our response to the vaccination, the need for vaccinations. We took care of people during the floods. We are, UMass is located on a floodplain, so you'd think that's the only thing we have to worry about. But we actually had other kinds of responses, as you can see. We do get money for a part-time coordinator, and that's through NACHO, and it varies between $10,000 and $3,500, just that's in our experience. We also get money from Homeland Security, which comes down through our county, and we apply to the county for that money. And then the university, of course, has a lot of soft donations, staff supply space, volunteers. So here we are, flu clinics as a service learning experience. We're very big on service learning. And again, nursing students at all levels can participate. Our emergency dispensing drill, we had a lot of people. We were on Amherst campus. All of the college campuses nearby, we assisted them with their vaccinations, and all of the surrounding towns. Our students went out there with their clinical professor. Psychological first aid, did a whole day on that. Every student in the School of Nursing was in their psychological first aid. Great student leaders, you know, a senior year, they love these leadership opportunities. Our sheltering exercise, that's our Mullen Center, so that's when, you know, Cirque du Soleil or something comes to town, this is where they perform, so it's a pretty big facility. Triaging, mass casualty exercise, incident command, many of our student nurses and some of our EMTs are EMT students there. When we say mass casualty, we had one experience where we said that there was ammonia had been given off by a train wreck or some such thing, and it was drifting in our direction. We had the wind speed and so forth. So on our phone, we have a call down system, and it's both text and phone. So we have practiced that 2 or 3 years in a row to be sure that everybody has signed up, and that's encouraged by the entire university. Sign up so you get our text if something's going on campus. And again, we never think it's going to be our campus. So we had students bust in from all the dorms to the facility. We washed them down if they were nearby. This was great. We had to have students get into bathing suits, you know. Some students say, I don't want to do that. My hair might get wrecked, you know. So it's like, you know what, you're going to have a lot of fun. Don't worry about your hair getting wrecked. And this fellow here, he's an alumni now, Alex, and he participated since the beginning, being an EMT, and was really instrumental for some of these mass casualty drills. So we had a drill every hour, about 45 minutes, you went to a different scene, and this was the scene where you were exposed to, you know, inhalation and smoke and all of this, and every student learned how to deal with it and what to look for first, second, and third. And they love it, you know, they get into it. We had a big Caring for Ourselves conference, people from all over the community, all neighboring communities. This is one of my students. He actually has gone into public health nursing, simulated surge. Again, build the kit, 72-hour backpack for you and your dorm. And by the way, my usual APHA partner here, Isha Ali from AIC in Springfield, she was supposed to pick me up 2 years ago so we could get on a plane and fly out. She couldn't even get into my street. I knew where my backpack was. So I had the backpack ready, but 10 days later, I still didn't have electricity, and we were well back from the conference at that point. So again, students teaching students, they love it. The support of the dean, get your dean on board. This is a feather in their cap, too. Sheltering exercise, practice, trying out the equipment. They have a ball. You know, our neighbors, they're not going to leave their house without their pet. So this year, we included the pet safety. Bring your pet along. What do you need to know? House pets. So look, it's a win-win. Success for all. You will love it. How many are members of their MRC? Anybody? Okay. So now you can bring it if you're at your hospital. Your hospitals are practicing, or your community. So there you go. School spirit, new leaders, and if you have a handout and there's plenty, that's how you get in touch with us. Thank you.